Welcome to all of you in Radio Land who are listening in. And for those of you that came to be with us today, thanks for coming. We're so glad that we can have our newer couple that have not been with us too long, Joshua and Pauline. How are you today, Pauline?
Oh, I'm doing great. Always happy to be on air with you, Doris.
Well, it's kind of nice to be on events because we discuss many interesting topics, don't you think?
I've already learned so much coming to these radio programs, and I'm excited about our program today.
And what about your husband, Joshua? What do you think, Joshua? Do you enjoy being on events?
I do. I enjoy it very much, and I also think I've learned quite a bit just by coming here and being part of the program.
And Albert, you help on doing the magazine and some of the topic talks. And do you think everybody watches our topic talks? I hope so.
I would hope so. If not, I highly encourage everyone to check it out. You know, you can see a lot of our wonderful teachers reviewing lessons and teaching new vocabulary words.
That is, of course, if you do your computer or if you want to use your mobile website, m.studioclassroom.com, look at advance and you can see some of these little skits that Albert and some of them produce. So it'd be fun to have you with us. But we want to live our life well. I think everybody wants to do that. Don't you think so?
I do. I think it's really important to, you know, look at your life and figure out how to live it well and how to really get the most enjoyment that you can out of the life that you've been given.
So we put together three articles that might have something to do with that. One of them is how to save somebody's life if they're in danger of choking. And what's the second article going to be about?
Someone shares a secret to the life of longevity.
Living a long time, what is the secret? And what's the third article about?
Our third article is about family budgeting, making sure the stresses of finances don't overwhelm us and that we're able to use those in a way that gives us the fullest, best life we can have.
So those are three things we're going to talk about this week, and we're going to start out by this first one. And some of you maybe have practiced this, and some of you maybe haven't, but I'm sure you've all heard about it. What is the title of the one that we're going to start on?
So the title of the article today is You Can Save a Life, How to Perform the Heimlich Maneuver.
Now, this Heimlich, that sounds like a German name, isn't it? I think it is. And it's a maneuver that by a man whose name was Heimlich.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting concept, isn't it? Have you ever done that?
Well, thank goodness I've never actually had to perform the Heimlich maneuver. So this is a maneuver that was created by Henry Heimlich, and it's a maneuver that allows people who are choking to have other people help them by removing the blockage. So I've learned how to perform this maneuver. I was a lifeguard. I was in the Boy Scouts, did a lot of first aid training. So we did a lot of training on how to do this, but fortunately I've never had to do it yet.
Well, you can train the rest of us now listening in today, but they call it a maneuver. I think that's an interesting way to say it, how to perform something that would be, what would you call it besides a maneuver? Maneuver is a strange word to use, isn't it?
I would say it's like a series of movements that you have to perform.
Okay, movements, that's good. Mm-hmm. Things that you have to do with your hands, probably maneuver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that's interesting how they call it a maneuver?
It is an interesting word. I wonder if it has to do with it being a little more precise, right? So with the Heimlich maneuver, if you go too far off, it wouldn't do it. It wouldn't actually help. Or if you didn't do it in the order that they have you do it, then it's not going to work. So I'm guessing that maneuver has this idea of movements in a specific order and way.
Moving things around.
That's a good point of the precision. So normally in English, when you would consider something to be a maneuver, for the most part, they would be talking about the military. So
that's
a maneuver that's done with like maybe a fleet or done with battalions that's very
right.
Precise
and
coordinated.
Think about the wars. They have these different maneuvers that they do to move here and go there and plan and so forth. But this is a planned thing that will help you. And this doctor, Henry Heimlich, is the one who invented it. So let's read more about him. Would you like to read the first paragraph?
Of course. Henry Heimlich, the doctor who invented the Heimlich maneuver, was in the news when he used his namesake technique to help a choking victim in the senior residence where he lives. It was a reminder that this would be a good time to brush up on our knowledge of how to perform this life-saving method.
So that's where it got started. Now, I forgot to look this up to see when that happened. Does anybody know? It was quite a while ago, though.
This having Henry Heimlich save somebody? Oh, it was, it happened this year, actually.
I know, but when did he invent this? This is not this year. This has been going on for a long time.
Oh, he invented this, when he was young, as a doctor.
Like, I know, but when was that?
Does I want to say know? 70 years ago.
I think that's a good guess. He's 96 years old now.
Yeah.
And so it couldn't have been more than 100 years ago.
No, I don't think so.
So I'm
it
guessing,
was quite a while
like,
ago.
Albert,
I've
it was
I've
probably
heard
about 70 years ago.
Yeah, quite a while ago, when he invented this. So he's a doctor, and they called them after him. So we say for your name's sake, and that's an expression we use when something is named after a person. And when you see a lot of strange names today, that's because it is named after somebody that did it. Isn't that true?
Yeah, or sometimes we'll refer to a child being somebody else's namesake.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to have a kid and name it after your friend or name it after your grandparent,
right.
They are your grandparent's namesake.
Right. It's a common expression. So this technique that he did, or this maneuver, or this technique, what does it do?
Well, this particular technique or maneuver, what it does is when someone is choking and no longer able to get any air because they have an obstruction or a blockage in their airway, it allows someone to use this technique to push the obstruction out of the airway so they can breathe again.
So if you're choking and there's something in your throat and it's stuck there, you can't get it out, well, it helps you get that thing out of your throat, doesn't it?
Right, so...
You can't reach in and pull it out, that's for sure. You have to figure out... And the air stops and they're going to die if they don't get any air. It's pretty urgent.
Yeah, this is a really important thing to know. It's a critical moment if you're there for it. They don't have a lot of time and it could be fatal. So it's a really important thing to know how to do.
So the person that wrote this article said, well, it reminds us now that we can all brush up on the knowledge of this. We've heard about it, and we've known how to do it, but we have to brush up on this. How do we perform this? So we're going to brush up on it today in our advanced class, whether you're old or young. It can happen to kids, too. It can happen to anybody to be choking on something.
It sure can. So all of us have people we love. We want to be as prepared as possible if something were to happen to them to be able to help.
So today in our lesson is going to be a refresher course on how to do this, and let's hope we never have to do it. Like you said, Joshua, you learned it, but you hope you don't have to do it on anybody.
Exactly, although I am confident that if the emergency were to arise, that I would be able to help out, but let's hope that I never have to.
So on page 14, let's start and read this part about a refresher course then.
All right. Dr. Stephen Dunlop at Minnesota's Hennepin County Medical Center offers tips on how to administer the maneuver. First, assess the situation. One of the most important things about choking in general is that if someone can cough and can make noise, the best thing to do is encourage them to keep coughing, he said. If they look like they're struggling, if they stop making noise, or if they start to change color, that would be the time to take action.
Well, that sounds pretty scary, doesn't it?
Very scary.
It does. I mean, especially if someone is changing color, that means they're getting a lack of oxygen to their body, and usually their face would turn.
Oh, no. You know, they can't breathe. They're going to choke. It's really scary. So he says he offers his tips on how we can do this. To administer something means to give this help to somebody. They show us about this technique. How do we really do it? So what's the very first thing that we have to do?
First, you want to assess the situation. You want to make sure that this really is an emergency that necessitates the Heimlich maneuver. We don't want to do the Heimlich maneuver if it's not really necessary. You could bruise some ribs, or it can be a little uncomfortable and painful. So it's absolutely the best thing to do if somebody is really choking and in danger of, you know, not being able to breathe and lose life. Of course, we want to do it. But if they're just coughing, we don't want to step in too soon.
Well, you know, I've done this myself. Sometimes you're choking on something and people say, are you all right? And haven't you all done that at some time or other, get something stuck in your throat and everybody says, are you okay? Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you're eating, sometimes you take off more than you can chew.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just okay to just cough a little bit. So
but everybody doesn't know, they say you're coughing, say, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever happen to you too?
That has definitely happened to me.
I think it happens to everybody, doesn't it? So you, how do you know when it's that serious? If they just keep on and on. So you have to find out. So how does this look to you? If they keep on coughing, you better, and they can't even answer you, then you have to do something about it. So first you have to decide, how serious is it? Is it just a short thing, or is it going to go on and on? That's not easy.
Exactly. And that brings us to our next point, right? Once you've decided whether or not it's a serious thing, the first thing you should really do is contact the emergency number. So in the United States, the emergency number would be 911, but here in Taiwan, it's 119, correct?
That's true, yeah. So if they're struggling away and they just can't even make any noise, and all of a sudden their face gets red or whatever color, changes color, then you really better do something. So there's kind of a period of time when you're not sure whether you should do that or not. And I guess most of the time we can choke something up and we can get it out of our throat. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. So this is what we have to find out. And whether we should perform this or not. And it goes up here, like you said, to tell somebody to call. Now, you might be busy helping them. So you say to somebody else, call 911 or call 119. So time is of the essence. And when we say time is of the essence, what does that mean, Albert?
It usually means that, you know, time is a critical and important factor, or we can call it time sensitive. So you really need to press for time.
Okay. Yeah, time is of the essence, means it's very important at this time, doesn't it? That's true. So while somebody else is calling, then what do you do? What's the second thing there?
So at this point, what you want to do is stand directly behind the person. Let them know what you are doing so as not to increase feelings of panic.
Okay, so you stand right behind them. You say, now I'm going to help you, and don't worry. Now, if you say, oh, what are we going to do? And you get more excited, then they might get more excited. So you have to stay calm. That's not easy, is it?
No, and I think it's a good reminder to talk to that person, too, because I imagine if I was in that situation, I would be going through so much stuff in my own head, trying to think of what I was supposed to do, that I might forget to talk to them and remember that part of your role is to help keep them calm, because if they begin to panic, that's just going to make an even worse situation.
So you get up and stand right behind them and then say, now I'm just going to help you get this up there, so don't worry about it. And then what is the next thing that you have to do, Alfred?
Well, you have to take your dominant hand and make a fist.
Okay, now what is your dominant hand then?
Usually the hand you write letters with.
So you can take whichever hand is the strongest, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Which hand do you, but most people take their right hand, though, don't they?
When if they you're right-handed, yeah. I'm right-handed, for example. I would definitely consider that too much.
I use both hands. I'm multidextrous, so I can use either one.
Oh, there you go.
And usually you take your right hand. Mm-hmm. Take your strongest hand, and then tell us what else you do on that. You put your thumb.
So you're going to take your dominant hand and make a fist, and then you're going to place the thumb side of the fist halfway between the person's belly button and sternum.
Where's your sternum at?
So the sternum is the medical term for your breastbone. So it's the thick bone that connects your ribs together that's right above your heart.
Okay. So you try to put your hand right there. Then what do you do?
Then you're going to take your other hand. So this would then be not your non-dominant hand. Grab your dominant hand, and so you grab your own fist.
Okay. So you might all practice that now. Just get ready and see what you do. And then what do you do next?
So then you do firm upward, inward and upward thrusts with your hand into that part of their, it's kind of like their chest, right below their chest. You're going to take that fist with your other hand, push it into their body with upward and inward thrusts to try and help dislodge, get that object that's blocking their airway out of their airway so they can breathe again.
Okay, now it sounds kind of complicated, but I guess it isn't that complicated. It's just that you've got to put your fist the right place, don't you?
You really do. So what it doesn't say here in the article is you're kind of putting your fist in the area where the diaphragm is.
Okay.
So that's the muscle that you would use in order to help expand your lungs and breathe anyway. Mm-hmm. So the idea is here that you're putting your fist in the area that you can use a little bit of pressure to try and dislodge or push the stuff out that's blocking your airway.
So if you push a little bit and you don't want to push too hard and it isn't working, then what do you have to do?
Well, then it says you need to get aggressive, so it means you need to push harder. Again, at this point, their life is in danger. You don't want to be shy about really trying hard to get that out because, again, you don't worrying about bruising or that it might hurt, that's not the biggest concern at this point. The biggest concern is making sure they're able to breathe and saving their life. So you need to get a little more aggressive with those, you know, punches, if you were, or push the thrust that you're doing with your fist.
Well, so now they're sitting down at probably at the table or something. Nobody's lying down when you do this. You're sitting down usually. Is that right?
Well, so a lot of times when people are choking, they'll be sitting at the table.
Right.
And when it says standing directly behind the person, like they could still be seated, but the most important part is that you get really good placement of your fist. So they may be seating, you might be standing behind them, but yes, they wouldn't be lying down at this point.
Okay. And then what do you say? What does the next thing say they have to do in line 15?
Sure. It says continue to perform the Heimlich maneuver until the situation is resolved, so they can breathe again, or it changes. For example, if all of a sudden they're moving air and are coughing again, then stop and let them keep coughing.
Hmm.
Or if they become unconscious, lay them down and start chest compressions.
Well, that's really serious. It gets to that stage, isn't it?
It's very serious. And at this point, you really want to hope that the emergency personnel that you contacted before you start all this are going to be on the same quickly.
So they can take over, right? Because they're more capable than you are. You have to try to do that, but it's better than nothing. You want to get that air moving. But if they start to cough, that means that they're beginning to cough it up, and you hope that it'll get coughed up by then, don't you? Well, it's really scary. Well, how do you actually respond to this choking? Says your signs that a person is choking include an inability to breathe. They can't breathe. They can't cough. And they're coughing or gagging and wheezing and the bluish color. Oh, it sounds really terrible. So how do you do this? How do you perform this on an adult? That's what it tells us. That's what the picture shows us. And you can see them here. They're both standing up in this drawing, aren't they? But they could be sitting down or standing up. And it sounds like a terrible situation. We hope it won't happen. But we should be prepared.
Right, we should definitely be prepared. And to continue on with line 20, it says, hey, if they become unconscious, you should lay them down and start chest compressions. And chest compressions is usually used to perform, like, to resuscitate people.
Okay. So we have to do these emergency measures. That's very important on this. So it says here on the emergency measures something that you, how this happened in the beginning. Would you like to read that, Joshua?
Of course. Heimlich never had used the maneuver in a real emergency situation until recently.
Hmm.
The 96-year-old surgeon was in his senior living complex when he noticed a woman choking. He performed the method on the 87-year-old woman who coughed up a piece of hamburger.
Hmm.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
It really is, you know. And he'd never really done it in an emergency. I guess he probably knew something about it. He's a doctor and everything. But and 96 years old. Wow. And he lived in a senior living home, a retirement home. And he used it on an 87-year-old woman. Just think of that. I bet she was very grateful, right?
Oh, I'm sure she was. She was pretty lucky to be living in the same retirement home as the very man who invented that exact technique. I think that worked out quite well for her. And what a thrill for him after all these years of teaching how to do this and hearing stories of people whose lives were saved to actually get to do that. I think that must have been a really amazing moment.
Right. He probably didn't have to use it much, but he knew the idea was good, but then it really did work out in practice. And he was pretty strong, I guess, you know, to be able to do that too. 96. Wow.
That's incredible. Of course, it's also a good reminder. Maybe you don't, if you do the technique right, I don't think you need to be the strongest, biggest man ever. Even a 96-year-old was able to save another woman's life with that technique.
Put your two fists, you put your fist there and then your other hand on it and push up, right?
Yep.
So maybe we should practice a little bit. We're going to do that after class. Can I practice on you, Albert?
Sure, Doris.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I don't know.
I'll
just
go.
As long as we don't have
don't
to practice choking.
Okay. No, don't choke. No.
I'll find a hamburger and we can
start.
No.
don't choke. But, you know, it's good to kind of figure out where that might be and locate it. You don't have to really squeeze anybody too hard today, but find out about it. And it's called that. So that's various specialized kind of terms here today. So what we're talking about is, what do you do if you're someplace and you see somebody choking? Now, I would probably first tell somebody else to do it because I don't know if I could do it right. But you might have to be the one to do it yourself. What do you think?
That's exactly right. And I think that's a big lesson of any kind of first aid, is that there's no guarantees that there will be somebody else around. So it's really important to learn all you can about how to respond, because, yeah, there's no guarantee that the inventor of the Heimlich maneuver is going to be sitting at the
right.
same table
or
when.
So the strong man might not be there. You might have, maybe the ladies might have to do it too.
Exactly, yep. So even if you don't feel the most confident, you may be the only option. So the more you can learn, the better. And I think today is a really good example of why it's important to have your magazine out and be subscribing to our magazine, not just listening, because some of these pictures are really helpful. And today in particular, looking at some diagrams for really exactly where to place your hands and what those movements look like,
that's
can
true.
Really help you, because it can be hard to just listen and picture it all in your head. And this is one where diagrams are really
And when
helpful.
You see it and read the words, then it stays in your mind even more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he looks pretty good here for his age, too, 96 in that picture, you know. And here's his book that he's showing there. That's a nice picture that we have of him. Well, now, I'd like to know, Joshua, when you said that you learned how to do this, how old were you when you learned this maneuver?
Oh, what? The first time I learned it, I was 14 years old.
14 years old?
Yeah,
my 14 goodness.
Years
so
old.
How come you learned it then?
Well, I was part of Boy Scouts. So Boy Scouts is an organization. Boy Scouts of America is
yeah,
an organization.
Yeah, Boy Scouts all over the world.
But it's all over the world, right?
Yeah.
But in our particular troop, or Boy Scout troop, first aid training was a very important part of being active. And so a big part of first aid training was learning what to do in emergency if somebody was choking. And we do go out camping, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, and we do eat hamburger. Apparently, it's not such a unexpected thing to have choke on a little bit of hamburger. So it's a very important thing for mm-hmm. you to know, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was about 14 when I first took a course on this, and I took it in my public school. In middle school,
really?
We had a course on that. I don't know if they do that here in Taiwan, but in at least
Good
in my
idea.
Public school, mm-hmm. we all had to get trained on first aid.
Was it volunteer or, like, mandatory?
No, it was part of our PE class. It was part of our physical education class was a
yeah. I
first aid training.
Yeah, I think they do teach it in some health classes in some schools.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We also learned another part of this method, which is really like the emergency, is if this happens and there's nobody else around.
Mm-hmm.
What they taught us was how to use the back of a chair in order to be similar to somebody else's fist. So that if you really don't have any help, that you can at least try to help yourself. Now, obviously, best is this, to have somebody next to you who knows what they're
you
doing.
You do it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, right?
Oh,
would you lean on the chair? Is that how
yeah,
it works?
So it's basically you do the same sort of thing, is that you put the edge of the chair where somebody's fist would be if they're performing this maneuver, and basically you lean over it and sort of make those thrusts so that it would help you dislodge whatever was caught in your throat.
That does
but
sound
let's really
serious.
Hope. Then that never happens.
Oh, my goodness. You have to practice that, too.
Never eat by yourself.
Yeah, don't eat by yourself.
Or at least a hamburger.
There. Right. But this could happen with any kind of food. Sometimes just all of a sudden you just breathe at the wrong time or something, and something gets stuck there, you know. So it's interesting. It's kind of a subject that you hate to think about. But still, if there's emergency and you might call for the help to come and they don't come, so you should be prepared.
Right, it's a mix, right? Because on one hand, you hate the idea of being in such a critical moment. It is a scary thought. But on the other hand, being able to save somebody's life, like that would be an incredible thing to get to do. Who wouldn't want to get to say that they've been able to save somebody's life?
That's
so
true.
I think, on the other hand, this is a really beautiful thing to learn.
So the optimistic part is you can actually help somebody when they're in need. And remember that time is of the essence. That's a good expression, that you cannot just wait. You have to look at the situation, assess it, and say, this is dangerous. Maybe you're at a restaurant, nobody's doing anything, it's the next table. You might have to go over and help them even. Maybe they're all upset, and then you say, oh, I know how to do this. So be prepared.
Right, definitely. And I'm super curious if any of our listeners have ever witnessed or performed this maneuver. If you have, please write to us and share your stories.
That's right, because it's kind of nice to talk about these things in a time when it's not emergency, but remember, always keep calm, whatever you do. And this is what we call what? The Heimlich maneuver. And what it is, it's a technique for helping people when they're choking. So that's kind of an interesting thing to talk about. But we're going to talk about other things, about people who have lived even longer than 96 years, like this surgeon. Tomorrow we're going to talk about somebody that's just almost 106 years old.
Hey.
That sounds really old, doesn't it?
Doris, you're a youngin' compared to that guy.
Oh, my goodness. All of us are compared to that. I don't know very many people that reach that age. So be sure and be with us tomorrow when we talk about this man in Florida. And he's going to share his secrets to his long life. So will you all be here tomorrow?
Yes.
We sure will. Wouldn't miss it.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.